Amen. Welcome to Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. Hallelujah. We've already played the Star Spangled Banner this morning. We've already said the Pledge of Allegiance. And we're believing for a mighty move of God in these end times. Amen. We know the mighty move is going to happen. We just don't know all the circumstances and timing, right? And we've turned to Psalm chapter 2. I want to start reading there. Verse 1 says, why do the heathen rage? Are you seeing some raging lately? And the people imagine a vain thing. The word vain there means powerless or empty, hopeless, having no impact. Why do the people happen that which can't happen? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Everything we're seeing take place in America now, all the hatred of conservatism, all the efforts to, you know, block Supreme Court nominations, all the anger toward the president, all really come back to a hatred of God. Come back to a hatred of the bonds that Christianity seems to place upon wickedness. Amen? So do you understand that a righteous remnant holds back the Antichrist? I mean, the Bible lets us know that the church right now is keeping the Antichrist from coming on the scene. Well, in the same fashion, we're stopping wickedness from manifesting. And those that have given themselves over to wickedness hate those bonds. You know, in power centers today, in the government education system, the top of all the seven mind-molting mountains, to get to the top, you've got to make compacts with darkness, for the most part. You've got to be willing to sell out your soul. You know, I think I mentioned this before, but Patty read Jimmy Stewart's biography some time back, and he talked about how Hollywood put a Bordeaux right on the edge of the studios. And they expected their stars to go to those things because they wanted them to be compromised morally. Because he who compromises himself morally now but can be, how can I say, blackmailed, extorted, will not stand up for righteousness. And that's true, I believe, all through all of our power centers in America and in the world today. I believe in many government positions, you've probably had to somehow be willing to embrace pedophilia, or at least turn your back on it. Amen. And all the efforts to shut down, you know, information about Epstein Island, and even all the liberation of sex trafficking victims in America has been covered up by the media, by the fake news. They want to hold on to their power sources and stop righteousness from prevailing. So here, 3,000 years ago, David declared this very standard in the world then, and it hasn't changed. The kings of the earth are still taking counsel together. They're uniting together to try to stop any type of righteous remnant from having say in the world. But look at the next verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Ha, ha, ha. God's laughing at this whole thing. Like they're going to stop him? You're going to stop God from having his way in the earth? It's not going to happen. God's already declared in his word what he's going to do, and it's going to take place. The glory is coming to the earth. There's going to be a harvest of souls take place, and then a rapture is going to happen after that. It's coming. But the wicked think they can stop it. Now here's what's interesting. Hold this spot. And turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse number 6. and hath raised us up together. There's our unity, right? See, the kings of the earth have their own covenants they're making, but God has his own covenant people. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As a born-again believer, you've already been spiritually positioned in the third heaven. You've been given third heaven access. You can come boldly before the throne of grace at any time you want to. Amen. In fact, your spirit always has spirit-to-spirit communion with God. You're already seated in heavenly places. But if we go back to Psalm 2, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Many would think, well, God, you're laughing, but we're down here on earth. No, I'm in heaven with God. We should be laughing, not distressed, not fearful. In fact, Friday night we were praying, and this spirit of fear tried to hit me, and I knew it was an attack. I said, you stupid devil, get off of me. And immediately the song shifted and started singing, Thou Shall Not Fear. We have no need to fear anything. No matter what happens in an election, no matter what the wicked try to do, all their plans are coming to nothing. We should be the happiest people on earth. That vision I had of the motorboat going up the river several years back. I was there on a Sunday afternoon praying. I saw a river about the size of the Kentucky River flowing up this side of the sanctuary. And speeding up it, I know it won't fit, but in a vision I saw it there. Was a huge motorboat flying about 70 miles an hour. That's just my guess. Packed full of revivalists having the biggest party of their lives. They'd never been that happy ever. Yet as my view was taken behind the boat, the entire earth was opening up and all the trees and everything were collapsing in the river and foam was flying up 100 feet in the air. And it was following the boat, but it couldn't catch it. And so where collapse was taking place, God was guarding his people. And I knew everyone on a boat was not just a Christian, but they were a revivalist. They were a remnant Christian. They believed the full word of God. They were living by faith. And the Lord said, collapses are coming, but my people will be protected. In fact, they'll be filled with joy. Amen. It's our time. Again, I don't know the timelines, but I do know things are going to happen. It says in verse 5, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex him in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now we know that's a prophecy to Jesus. But guess what? It's a prophecy to us. He was a son of God, so are we. We have the same covenant promises available to us that Jesus had. And do you know when he was alive, they couldn't touch a hair of his head? Until he allowed it. They tried to throw him off of a cliff. He walked right through their midst. They tried to lay hands on him. They just fell back, were slain in the spirit. Not dead, but knocked out. In the same fashion, if we know who we are, we don't have to worry about what the wicked want to do. In fact, the word says, if you be a follower of God, who is he that can do anything to you? To paraphrase. Oh, praise God. So God knows what's taking place, and he's going to deal with this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. And Deuteronomy was a book written about Israel's covenant with God a month before they went in to take the promised land. Now they came out of Egypt, right? They came out of Egypt, and because of their rebellion, they spent 40 years in the wilderness until a new generation could be raised up. A generation of faith instead of one of doubt. So when God gives Deuteronomy to Moses, it's time to go in and possess. These are now people of faith. And it says in verse number 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, and upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Again, he brought us out to take us in. There's a song we used to sing, He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out to take us into the promised land. You guys remember that song? And I want to tell you, God didn't bring us this far to take us back again. Now, before it's done, I want to talk about some of the accomplishments of our president. Where the wicked said he would fall, he would cause World War III, everything would collapse. He said nothing but four straight years of victories. Miracle victories, way beyond his own abilities. The hand of God's blessing has been on this administration. The hand of his protection has been on this administration. And what my whole purpose this morning is to proclaim to you what God started, he's going to finish. He didn't bring us this far to stop now. You know, some people have this mentality, well, he did it before, but I don't think he'll do it again. That's the mentality that's discussed in Psalm 78, where it talks about how God was upset at Israel because he brought them out with all these signs and wonders, the 10 plagues. But then they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Duh. If he can part a Red Sea, he can bring you something to eat. He can bring the water from, but every step, Israel doubted whether God would do it again. And I want us to be a people that know no matter what happens, God's going to do it. He's going to have his way in this thing. He brought us out. He took us this far. He initiated just for us, this church, all these years of all-night prayer, praying for this day we're in now. And he's going to take us in. And of course, our promised land is the glory. It's not heaven. Listen, we're going to heaven someday, but I'm looking forward to the glory now. You know, I think I ministered on this Thursday night. Yeah, that so many people can't wait to get to heaven. I'm in no hurry to get to heaven. I'm more excited about manifesting God's promises now. I want to show a wicked world the goodness of God that bring men to repentance. I want to show men the power of God that's able to redeem and to save and deliver. That's what I'm excited about now. I get to heaven, that opportunity's over. So I'm excited about bringing the glory into my surrounding areas. And I believe that's our assignment. Again, on the wall, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, right on our wall over here written. God intends to raise up a glorious bride. And everything we've done up to now was training for the moment we're entering into right now. Just like 40 years in the wilderness was not to teach him how to apply survival skills in the wilderness. We learned all these years in the wilderness how to get water out of the ground where there seems to be no water. No, God said, I'll bring water from a rock. We learned what roots we could eat in the wilderness. No, God flew in quail and brought you manna for 40 years. The purpose of the wilderness was to teach you how to live by faith. How to trust God for all of your supply and sustenance and your protection. He delivers from kings much stronger than you. And so the purpose was to teach them how to live as overcomers and then go in and possess with what they learned. And I believe everything we've learned up to this point is to prepare us for what we're about to enter into. Amen. Now, I did a series last year, I believe it was, on 41 Will Come. Do you remember that series? Well, we talked about it. It was a book written by Chuck Tate out of Illinois. And it talks about how Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 is a type of preparation or testing, right? Elijah fasted for 40 days. What was the other one I wanted, the other 40? Oh, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. 40. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested of the devil. But guess what? Because we're in a time that we're in a created realm, a heaven, where time has application. If you're counting 1 to 40, you don't stop time at 40. 41 will come. There has to be a time where you're not just in the preparation, where there's an entering in, you go in and possess. I'm sure back in Israel's days in the wilderness, they felt like they would never go into the promised land. But now that 40 years seems like nothing to us. They did go in and possess and took out Jericho and all the other cities. And I'm telling you, God said he's coming back for a glorious bride. It is our time to continue to learn to shine and then manifest that glory. 41 has come. Amen. I'm believing Tuesday, I'm believing Tuesday will be a 41. Amen. That God started something. He's about to slam a big seal on. Now, we mentioned we've been praying as a ministry every Friday night for several months. Really just over the election, through the election. I said we would go through the election. But another prophet from India, Mr. Sadhu, declared you don't need to just pray through the election. You got to pray through January 20th when the inauguration takes place. Because he said there will be efforts to try to overturn the election. So we're going to continue our ministry-wide prayers once a month in here through January 20th. And then maybe beyond. I would like to continue it if God declares it. But of course, we pray every Friday night as a church here, right? 11 p.m. The point being is I believe our 41 has come. Now, if not, it's coming. I read a statement at the beginning of service this morning. I want to read it again this morning. And again, I'm believing for a red tsunami, but if not, it doesn't change the Word of God. So if the elections do not turn out as we desire, it's only because God is giving the wicked more time to expose themselves. Amen. In Deuteronomy, God told Moses and Israel, when you go into the promised land, I'm going to send in the holy hornets. I'm going to send hornets in to drive everybody out of their cracks and crevices where they're trying to hide. In other words, God says no wickedness will be allowed to deceive any longer. They're going to be exposed. It's happening for us right now. The wicked are all in to expose himself to try to stop this move. Amen. Now we've seen not only is there wickedness in our government, the media is overtaken by wickedness. Even Fox News has filters on it that you can't mention George Soros, right? We've discovered. Of course, that's why they got rid of Glenn Beck several years ago. Not only is the media wicked, the education system is wicked. Not only that, we found that Facebook, Google, and Twitter all have devious, goals. That they're censoring anything that might help conservatism in this election. But I'm telling you, I believe the tsunami that's being raised up will overtake everything the wicked will try to do. Amen. I heard somebody yesterday on the news talking about, somebody was saying, what if they cheat? Well, they're going to try to cheat. But he said, the other guy said, I believe there's going to be such an overwhelming wave of conservative voters rise up that it'll overshadow any cheating they could try to do. I'm believing for that. Amen. But we don't wait weeks for a winner to be declared. We'll know the winner Tuesday night. I believe we know the winner now. Amen. No matter what the polls might try to lie about. So the point is 41 has come, right? Turn with me to Philippians. Turn to 2 Chronicles first. 2 Chronicles. And again, we've been to some of these passages of late. In 1987, my pastor came to Kentucky from Illinois. And this was one of the primary verses he spoke. There were two passages he spoke almost weekly to us, taught on us weekly, that were really the focal point for his life and the focal point for the church at the time. The one was Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. He declared we should all endeavor to know Jesus. That's our number one calling. But then he went to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Well, let's back up a verse because it's so powerful to read the verse before. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence or plague among my people. I mean, we've seen a plague. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And we've been praying it for decades. We humble ourselves. We pray. Turn from wickedness. God, bring a move of God. Bring revival. I've been praying it for decades. And what I heard Mario Murillo, I believe it was, say here a few weeks ago. He got up on his site and said, sooner or later, the end of that verse has to take place. Heal our land. God will heal our land. I mean, again, the church has been praying for probably 50 years this verse. There's got to come a time, 41 will come. We'll just say they've been praying it for 40 years. 41 will come that God will heal the land. If God doesn't heal the land, He's been holding out, you know, that ear of corn in front of us we can never reach. God's been giving us teasers. I've been working on these old bingo pinball machines lately. And they work by putting nickels in the machine. I've switched them where you just push a button representing a nickel. And you can put as much money on one game as you want to. And when you put the nickel in, all these numbers flash. And they'll even jump a little bit. And they're teasers. They're making you think you're about to get a winner. It's about to give you some better odds and everything. Teasers just flashing. And sometimes you can put, 50 nickels in it, may not move. That'd be a rarity, but the lights still flash like it's about to give you something. God's not like that. God's not giving you teasers. He's giving you prophetic confirmations of what He's going to do. He's not saying, oh, keep praying and maybe I'll do something. He said the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, right? God gives us shalls, not teasers. And I believe we come to a time that God's about to heal the land. Now, what happens in between? I don't know. You know, spent a lot of my life on the farm. Spent a lot of time riding a tractor where the plow was overturning the soil. And you can take a field that looks like it's full of dead weeds, cockleburs, all kinds, junk. And you just don't go plant new crops on that ground. You run the plow through it. Not only that, if it's never been plowed and say it's got, maybe big rocks in it or it's just really hard clay. Well, when you do that, especially down in the south, further south where I grew up in this, the dirt's red clay. You can't run a plow through it. It'll bounce off. So instead they run a subsoiler. Anybody ever seen a subsoiler? A subsoiler is a single plow blade about that big on a big, almost like an iron hook, and you pull it with a bulldozer. Your tractor won't pull it. And it bites down into the ground and the bulldozer pulls it and it breaks up. Hard dirt that's almost like rock. And just bust it up. And once that happens, then you can run a plow over it and finish it. The point I want to make is sometime to put in a new growth, you got to overturn the old totally upside down. And I don't know how much overturning is still going to take place before this happens. But I'm believing there's going to be a draining of the swamp. Go to a whole nother level November 3rd this year. Amen. God bless America. Hallelujah. So there's got to be a time after all these decades of seeking God, God moves and heals the land. Now go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, being confident. What's confident mean? You can rest assured. You're convinced. You relax in it. Being confident of this one thing. This very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. God, what He starts, He finishes. Now, this verse actually became, for my life, maybe the most important verse I ever read, that I ever worked into my life, that I confessed over and over again. Because I first got saved, I didn't really have a good father image in my life. In fact, I had a pretty pitiful father image in my life, of a father that really didn't even like me. And a lot of shame, you know, passed down, or condemnation. And so I got saved. I was on fire for God. But it was this thing where I felt like it was never good enough. No matter how much I fasted, I prayed, I just never felt God's approval. Felt like He was always going to kick me out. No matter what, He's going to kick me out. Oh God, I fell asleep. I was going to read 10 chapters a day. I only got 9 done. Don't blot my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. This sounds ludicrous, but that's where I was. And then I saw this verse. That what got started in me, I could be confident He would finish it. And I prayed this verse over my life through the day for years till it took root strong. That God's not a God that dangles a hope in front of you. He finishes it. You can have that same understanding. What He started in you, did He start something? He's going to finish it. As long as you keep going after the Spirit, He'll do His part and finish the work in you. You just can't, you know, go nuclear and do your own thing. Go non-linear is probably a better way to put it. And so, what God started with the church, what He started with our political system, 2016 started something. Now, it had already been started underground in the Spirit. It had already been started through a conservative movement all through America. But it was 2016 was where it came above ground. There was all this root death taking place before 2016, but in 2016, with that election, it came above ground, and the wicked freaked out and went, "This is real." And I've tried to cut it down. Every time it grows a little bit, let's cut it down again, and all it does is grow more roots. You've heard about the bamboo tree, right? The bamboo plant, what they do. I may get some of the numbers wrong. But when they plant bamboo and they want to get structural bamboo, big bamboo, they plant it, and the first year it comes up, maybe grows a foot, and they cut it off. And the next year, grows up another foot, you know, grows a foot, they cut it off. And the third year, I don't remember how many years, but like the third year, they don't cut it off, and it grows 40 feet tall. That they force all the growth underground the first few years, and then it just shoots up. Well, I believe every time the wicked been trying to cut us off, it's just causing us to shoot down with stronger roots. People are seeing craziness out in America, you know, burning buildings and hatred of America. And it's caused America to become more resolute to protect the founding principles of the nation. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amen. Even capitalism, which is under assault. And I believe now is our time to shoot up. It's God saying, okay, everything's been hidden long enough. He said everything hidden shall be revealed. He's revealing the wickedness of the wicked and the power of the saints. And the glory is going to, I feel the Holy Ghost, the glory is going to come through this arisen church. Arisen. What a powerful time to be on God's side. And what He started, He's going to finish. Now, it came above ground in 2016. In 2020, I believe it's going to shoot to the skies. Amen. That's my prayer. And again, we don't know this timing, but we know what's going to happen. God's about to move. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, are you still with me? Second Corinthians 2. Again, another verse that I pray over my life, even still all the time today, is verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always, every time, without exception, causes us to triumph in Christ. God always calls us to win. If you know who you are in Christ, you can't lose. David said in Psalm 1, if I'll meditate His word day and night, everything I do will prosper. I like what Norval Hayes said. I've quoted it many times. I heard him say years ago. He said, I believe I'm so blessed of God, if I bought a sick rooster, it'd get healed and I'd make money. The time there was a freeze coming, and he had orange groves in Florida. And the freeze was coming, and everybody was putting out their smudge pots around their trees. And he just walked around his property and commanded blessing on all of his crop. And the freeze came and wiped out everybody around for miles. And he had the only orchard untouched. The blessing of God. He always makes us win. Amen. Tammy brought me a word before service. Can I quote you? Paraphrase. And she said, God came on her, spoke to her the other day, that we don't have to worry about what the wicked are doing because the power of God is so much greater. Don't worry about the witches, the curses, Halloween. God's power is much greater. He always makes us win. Amen? And I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. God woke us years ago to get born again and be on His side. Amen. Now, Isaiah 59. After we had the prayer time Friday night, and Billie Jean had been holding on to the flag. In fact, it's funny how the enemy works. She's holding on the flag, and I said, Billie Jean, take a seat, basically. She said, no, I can't. God said to hold on to this. So at the break, I went in my office, and I sat down to pray about what to do next. And God said, go take Billie Jean a chair so she can sit down. So I didn't want God her stool and took it to sit down. She says, Pastor Jack, did I miss God? I said, we're going to find out, aren't we? She didn't. It became the focal point for the whole night of what God did. But she had to step out and do it and even look silly herself for a while. Prayer cloth on my head. Yeah, and there's Fred Kramer. He just bought him a new 26 megapixel camera. He's a professional photographer. He's sitting back there the whole time, click, 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 click. I'm going, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, be glad you didn't come, huh? Amen. Actually, it would have been good to come. So after we had prayed, and I'm asking God, you know, what's going on? What's further going on? And he reminded me of a verse in Scripture I want to read to you. That, again, we've spoken this verse for years, but it really took on additional meaning for us Friday night. So Isaiah 59, are you there? And go to verse number 18. According to their deeds, talking about the wicked, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Verse 19. So shall they that fear the name of the Lord, that would be us, right? Not a terror, but a reverential awe. From the west, there's our compass, and his glory from the rising of the sun, there's the glory from the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the prophet Jeremiah Johnson here last month had a dream. Did we show the dream here where he saw the Statue of Liberty? I know we talked about it. He had a dream where he saw the Statue of Liberty and floodwaters were trying to cover it. And they were up, I mean, almost to the head. And, or maybe to the chest or something. And all around it were little boats. There's our boats, full of people, and they were revivalists. And each boat was labeled the remnant. And where the waters were threatening to totally cover up the Statue of Liberty, as the remnant started decreeing and prophesying and praising, the waters started to recede. That's the enemy coming like a flood. Do you follow me? And Jeremiah said the good news was, it wasn't over the torch. The flame was not put out. Well, it says, when enemies shall come in like a flood, we raise up a standard. Do you see that? Well, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Standard there means a banner or a flag. Amen. And God said, you raised up a standard Friday night that you said the waters will not go beyond this. The wicked will proceed no further. And when the anointing shifted, we really felt, I felt strong. The Spirit of God said, your assignment of this is finished. Now let me make it clear. I don't think we're the church saving America. I'll be God raising up churches all across America that are working in conjunction to do their assigned part to stop this advancement of the enemy. I think we impacted Scott County, even surrounding areas. But also we sowed our seed, our part, to add to the national effort, even the international effort, to bring righteousness back to America. We raised up a standard, the power of His name. Standing on the Word that God would change things. Verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Zion represents the church of the living God. Amen. According to the New Testament, Zion represents the church. And unto them that turn from transgression, there's turning from your wicked ways, 2 Chronicles 7:14. In Jacob saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant. Now, we hadn't read this when we took communion. We hadn't read this when we put the flag out. I taught Friday night that the communion was about covenant. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. I believe what God started Friday night, well, it wasn't started. What He was culminating to some level is an eternal work. It's a forever and ever work. Something was changed. Amen. And if nothing else, it changed in us. It changed in this church. No going back, never being the same. But here's what got me. I'm reading about raising up a standard against the flood of the enemy, about the covenant of this, and I went to the next verse. Chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but my glory shall be seen, shall arise and be seen upon thee. It's the passage of the glory we stood on. It's preceded by a standard stopping a flood. This may mean nothing to you, but it meant everything to me. That God's confirming what He started in us. What He started, He's going to finish. 41 has come. It's our time. And look at verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The same kings that took counsel against us are going to come to the brightness of our rising. The people will be set free from the power of ghost darkness and come to the light. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. That's the harvest coming in. It's what God has shown us for years. It's time. Look at verse 5. Then shalt thou see and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted. The abundance of the sea are the multitudes of people. It says the abundance shall be converted. God's got a harvest. He's going to take the majority of the earth for His kingdom. There's no way Satan's going to say, I took more people to hell than God took to heaven. And right now on earth, there's more people alive right now on earth than have ever lived in all times past. And God's about to harvest it. And it's starting at a much higher level right now. And it says, because the abundance of thee shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. See the word forces there in the King James? There's no way around it. In the Hebrew, that means wealth. God's bringing the wealth to his church. He's going to bankrupt the devil. All initiated by raising up a standard against his flood. We've had a flood of disinformation. This is somewhat the word that Pastor Nancy brought forth, you know, earlier in the service. All this disinformation has been flooding the networks, flooding every type of area of information gathering we have. But I'm telling you, God's about to turn it around. He's going to bankrupt those systems and put it into the hands of those who will honor God. Amen. Now, why would God bless this election? Why would he bless the president in this election? Well, first of all, one party has done everything they can to try to block righteousness and try to attack the things of God, taking under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, removing every reference to prayer, even the American flag or God, out of their national convention, promoting, pushing for homosexual marriage. Even Supreme Court justices who have an agenda of unrighteousness. In fact, the devil that hates you so much is backing this one party and manipulating information and men's minds, leaders' minds, to try to plunge the world into eternal darkness. But God said that won't happen. Now here's, to me, because I followed this so closely for the past 4 years and known it was a move of God, I have a list here of President Trump's accomplishments. I downloaded. It's 6 pages long of accomplishments. Every week, there'd be a new assault against the president saying he's about to destroy the world, the economy, plunges into World War III, destroy the environment, put people in chains and boxes and everything else. One after another have been attacks. Anytime he's going into a major negotiation, like with Little Rocket Man, remember that? North Korea. And they said, he's going to bring the world into nuclear war. And instead, he brings peace. And that's been his, how can I say, reputation for 4 years. And it's way beyond anything the president has the ability to do himself. He didn't have the ability to go in and make peace treaties with ISIS and others. That was God. God's blessed everything he's put his hand to, way beyond. And my prayer for him is all the time, is, Father, don't let him think it was him. Let him know it was you behind him. Don't let him be like, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, who got it caught up in pride. Look what my hand has done. Let him know it was you that had been backing him all along. The prayer warriors, Paula White's and the Kenneth Copeland's all behind him and all of us. Supporting a righteous move of God. And I've watched, he'll destroy the economy. What happened to the economy? Shot up. COVID hits, goes down. Now we just had a quarter, which was the most amazing increase of the economy in the history of the nation. Our economy went up 33% in one quarter. Unheard of. He said he'd have settled for 15%. Way beyond man's ability to do. And I'm going to try to read you some of these here in just a few minutes. But I want to go ahead and make some of the points. What God started and what he's blessing, he's not going to stop. It's going to continue. God's going to continue to work through this submitted man of God who's submitted, I believe, to the Spirit of God. Oh, he's still going to say stupid stuff and Twitter stupid stuff. But you know, God will still bless you regardless of some of the stupid stuff you said and done. Aren't you glad about that? It's not about him being perfect. It's about him being anointed for the job. And it'd be a dangerous thing to stand against him. Of all the presidents of the past, only President Trump moved the embassy, American embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Only he made peace with the Palestinians in Israel, stopped the daily rocket attacks that took place all the way through all the administrations of the past. Made what was the recent with Jordan? He made a peace treaty. And now there's 10 other nations, 10 other Middle East nations, ready to come to the peace table with Israel. Now many are recognizing this is an end time move of God. This is what's prophesied in the Word. And the presence is so blessed of God and anointed for it that he's seeing it happen. Who would attack somebody bringing peace to the Middle East? Somebody with an agenda that wants wickedness to prevail. I don't believe it was an accident. I never pray for somebody to die. I got to be pretty angry when I do. But for Darth Vader Ginsburg to pass away a month before the election. Amen. Never mind. Kim Clement prophesied back in 2011 or 12 that Donald Trump would be elected for two terms, and he would appoint a woman to the Supreme Court who would be an Esther for this generation. And now he just appointed an Amy Coney Barrett. Now that we'd have to grin it, they would have to grin and bear it. Amen. To the Supreme Court, which can now override John Roberts' treacherism. Amen. Who turned out to be, he's either compromised, bought, or blackmailed. Or all three, right? That has been siding with wickedness. We're believing that won't happen again. And we can overturn some of these ridiculous edicted rules placed upon America. Amen. And so win after win has taken place. Then what are the chances? Of course, 2 years of Russia probe turned up nothing. Other than the Democrats were the ones that were cheating, right? But how about this? A drunk Hunter Biden takes his laptop to a repair shop and abandons it. It's turned over to the FBI, and the FBI does nothing because they're compromised. But yet, he also then saved a copy and sent it to the Washington Post and Rudy Giuliani, and weeks before the election. And now the media's really in meltdown cover mode, right? Disinformation mode. It's a Russian scheme. Right. And the Russians put all that child pornography on there as well, or whatever was on there, the pornographic images. These are not accidents. These are initiated in this move of God to take place. Amen. Again, what I want to get across this morning is what God started, he's going to finish. And our greatest days are ahead of us, right? And I want to take a few minutes. I got a few minutes left. Oh, glory to God. I was going to teach on wave theory this morning, but we haven't got to that. We'll skip that. The Democrats have declared that Trump would destroy America and the world at every step he takes, and yet every time he moves, things are put back together better. Amen. None of it's happened. We're talking about 200 weeks. Every week, some other thing he's going to do to destroy the world. That means there's 200 things that didn't turn out like the wicked said. If there was just one that turned out, there'd be the highlight of the news for 4 years. The best they can do is say he put kids in cages, and yet that was the Obama administration today. So here's some of the accomplishments. Added 1.8 million jobs in July. Combined total of over 9 million jobs created since May. These are recent ones. Oh, I need to skip through some of these. Unemployment has dropped. You know, before the COVID thing, unemployment dropped to the lowest rate in 50 years or 60 years. And for, you know, black Americans, the lowest it had ever been. How do you vote against that? I'm just going to read headlines. Started the great American comeback economically. It was declared before he was elected that America would never exceed 1.8% GDP again. And he pushed it almost 4. And a stomach. Blessing after blessing. Economic relief plans, efforts to stop COVID, bold action to reduce the price of prescription gloves. I'll get it out in a minute. Dobra sikiela. Did you get it then? Prescription drugs. Pushing ahead with law and order. How about all our military advancements? Rebuilding the American military. And one of the most powerful things is what he's done with trade. To eliminate NAFTA and create surpluses from China versus the opposite. That amazes me. He's won on every front. When he was told he would destroy the world in America and everything he did. And he said he's an idiot. We could use more of those kind of idiots. The largest package of tax cuts and reforms in American history. Killed off, this is a big one. We don't even know how much. Killed off massive amounts of job-cutting regulations. Ended the war on American energy. Now I remember the gas pushing toward $5 a gallon. Now we're an energy exporter, gross exporter versus importer. Totally flip-flop the energy market. Confirm more than 220 federal judges. Conservative judges. Built over 400 miles of wall now. Border wall. Great shifts to take care of our veterans. More to do, but he's done much. Working with healthcare to keep it affordable. Working against addiction. $6 billion in new funding to stop drug addictions. And here's one, I don't know if you see the posts, and it seems to coincide. You remember Epstein's assistant? What's her name? Giselle's what I was going to say. Giselle? Well, they got her in jail. Hopefully under better guard than Epstein had. Amen. Hey, you want to hear something funny? Do you guys remember my sign from last year, Epstein did not kill himself? I put on my house, 12 foot long, lighted with Christmas lights. I was going to put it up again, and Patty says, you will not put that up again. 1 year was enough. I said, Patty, I have another piece of sign I was going to put under it with a carrot. Epstein still did not kill himself. She said, no. So I think it was Friday. I put it on Facebook Marketplace. It sold in 15 minutes. It was going viral again. Some guy messaged me and said, do you take PayPal? I said, sure. He PayPal me extra money to cover PayPal charges. And when he came and picked up, he says, I wanted to pay you right away because I couldn't get over there right away. And I don't want anybody to buy it, undercut me. He was thrilled. He said, I told my wife I was going to pump. She says, no, you're not. She says, but I am. Yeah. I didn't tell her. I just put it up. I made it in secret, put it up in secret. he is seen. This is from back in the summer. Identified 23,000 survivors of human trafficking. Arrested 5,000 wicked human traffickers. And you see the posts. See, I believe they got a hold of Giselle's information and she's exposing people. Ghislaine, Epstein woman, who was his recruiter. She's turned state's evidence, I believe. And are exposed, and they're making arrests and delivering people from trafficking all across the nation. If he didn't do anything other than that, to me, that's one of the greatest accomplishments this nation's ever seen. Glory to God. In 2018, the Department of Justice closed down the leading site for sex trafficking on the internet. One bids for the 2026 World Cup and the 2028 Summer Olympic. I don't know. It's on and on. 6 pages of victories, one after another, that are beyond any one man's ability to accomplish. You know, I read again the other day the story about Solomon. When God asked him, what do you want? He said, I want wisdom to lead the people. God said, because you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to give you both. And I truly believe President Trump has asked God for wisdom. Now, it said Solomon had wisdom no man would ever have like had ever had before and will ever have again. Because he probably didn't have Twitter. But our president has accessed godly wisdom. And what God started, he is going to finish. Get ready for the uprising, the rising, the exaltation of the supernatural church. The miracle manifesting church, because they work in conjunction. See, I truly believe what we've been praying for years, and others have been praying for years, what intercessors are brought forth and decreeing, the prophets declaring, are the reason we have President Trump today and the victories today. That's why we can't become lethargic about our pursuit of God and the pursuit of fulfilling the Word. Because this is what's making the difference. Amen? I believe when we get to heaven, President Trump will be wearing a large crown. Crowns. He'll be there. Amen? I truly believe he'll be there. But I believe there'll be people that prayed him in and have bigger crowns. Amen. Another thing I want to throw in, just something that dropped in me recently. It's kind of a little bit off on a side track. Rush Limbaugh announced here about a week ago that unless something happens, his cancer's terminal. And so be praying for Rush Limbaugh. But I had a thought. Do you remember, because see, personally for me, and some people hate Rush Limbaugh, I credit him for the modern conservative movement. I don't think we have a Trump without a Rush Limbaugh. I don't think we have a conservative Senate without a Rush Limbaugh. He was the initiator of exposing the wicked and teaching conservatism over 30 years ago. And we have no idea what impact he's had on this country. And he's always given credit to God. He says he has credit on loan from God. Teaches the gospel on his show. Heard him do it. Preaches the gospel. But I was thinking about how Moses brought Egypt out of Israel, yet he couldn't go in. He could only see it from afar. I almost wonder if Rush Limbaugh, nobody get mad at me, is not having a parallel type of call on his life to bring America out of bondage through the wilderness, yet he doesn't get to go in to see. He sees it from afar off. He'll be in heaven. And there'll be a whole lot of aggravated preachers because he's got more and bigger crowns than they have. Amen? There may be some people in hell that preached what they thought was the gospel, saying, why is he in heaven and I'm not? Because he accessed the power of God to do what he was called to do. Well, did you get anything out of this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word, your prophetic promises, the move of your spirit. Please, we invite you, burst something in us right now through Friday night, through this morning, that doesn't stop. It just keeps increasing. I don't want normal services. I don't want just to go through motions. I want a move of God. Bring forth your glory. Bring forth the giftings. I decree in this church every gift of the Spirit is in full operation and in submission to the Holy Spirit. And we see the miracles, signs, and wonders we've always believed for. I thank you in this church there are none sick. COVID cannot touch a person in this church in Jesus' name. None sick, none in pain, none in any way physically limited. Arthritis has to bow to the anointing right now in Jesus' name. Injuries, surgical damage bows to the Word of God right now in Jesus' name. There's also no lack. No lack of finances, no lack of peace, joy, happiness, whatever resources we need, marital stability, we declare it all released to us right now in Jesus' name. There's no strife, no division, backbiting, gossip, undercutting, or roast pasture, especially that one. We're a covenant church without strife, without schism. We declare it in Jesus' name. And this is a church without oppression. No fear, no anxiety, no feelings of defeat. We rise up in the power of the anointing right now in Jesus' name. No oppression or anxiety whatsoever. And I thank you, Father. You release your glory upon us. We step into more and more of it every day, every moment of the day in Jesus' name.